It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, Editor-at-Large at Search ERP. My guest today is Mike Etling, CEO of Unit 4, a mid-market ERP vendor based in the Netherlands. We'll discuss Unit 4's migration from on-premises to multi-tenant SaaS ERP, the microservice design of its newest platform, ERPX, and the people experience of ERP for service industries. And we'll get a little preview of products announced at the vendor's annual Experience for You conference. Like a lot of ERP vendors, Unit 4 has had a mix of older on-premises products and some newer cloud products. And so I'm wondering how the cloud migration has been going so far at your company.
We will finish 2020 with about 49% of our recurring revenue being cloud. Next year, we will tip over the 50% mark, which is, you know, a great kind of tipping point to get on the on-prem to cloud journey. So, you know, short answer, when you look at the data, very, very positively. Put a qualitative perspective to that. You know, when I joined, a lot of people were talking about, do we need to push cloud, incent cloud? And my reaction to my teams were, why would we have to push where the market's going to go anyway? You know, the market is adopting cloud, customers are adopting cloud. Yes, different customers will have different paces of their journey of adoption. And then, you know, fast forward March 2020, along comes COVID, and it just emphasizes to everyone the value of cloud and the importance of cloud. So, you know, we've seen in 2020 and 21 an acceleration, you know, of the move to cloud, and, you know, largely as a result of the situation which materialized in COVID. But I'd put it in a bigger context of not just, it's not just people saying, oh, I want to go to cloud for the sake of cloud. Yes, CIOs are now focused on, you know, how do we have availability of all our solutions, particularly as people go back to a work from anywhere kind of model, they need to have that. But I think the bigger driving force is around companies wanting to digitize. And of course, the best tools for digitizing are in the cloud. You don't read about great digitization tools which are still on-premise anymore. I think all of these factors are contributing to a great uptick in cloud, driven by customers, not forced by vendors. You know, you could argue maybe 10 years ago, vendors were still forcing it. And, you know, in our case, we have a great cloud product. We've scaled up our cloud migration teams to, you know, really enable that better for our customers. And, you know, all in all, I'd say it's a very clear cloudy future.
That's a good line. I don't know if that's the first time we've used it, but it is a good line. I'll pull that one out for sure. So I'm wondering how it's going for Unit 4 customers. What are you hearing among those who have done the migration, especially if they've maybe had an on-premises system, maybe your on-premises system? What kinds of pain points are you hearing from them in trying to make the move?
A couple of things. I'll kind of give you a bit of a kind of generic view on this. I think the single biggest challenge for all customers, and this is a fairly universal principle, to cloud migrations and moving to the cloud. And when I talk moving to the cloud, I'm talking moving to a true multi-tenant cloud solution. I'm not talking just lift and shift your legacy on-premise and run it in a hyperscaler. It's very much the latter. And the single biggest factor which impacts this is customization, you know, which we call a swear word in the cloud. You know, as people built on-premise legacy systems over the years, customization was a big thing. You know, the good old days of ERP, a consultant was a hero when they came and customized the application exactly how the customer wanted it. And of course, a lot of that customization in today's world is not differentiating, doesn't add value. And in fact, it creates a lot more complexity. And the cloud world does allow, we call it configuration and we call it extensibility because it doesn't knock over and change the core code. So it does allow that. So the challenge customers have is how much customization have we got and what do we really need? And then of that, what do we really need? How do we rebuild it in a more extensible configuration manner as opposed to customizing the code? And that answer to that question, it sounds very simple, but could be a very long piece of string for some customers and could be very simple for other customers. And that is the single biggest determinant. So we've invested a lot in, you know, what we call diagnostic tools, because particularly when it's our on-premise solution, we can run a diagnostic tool and we can very quickly map out the customizations. And then knowing the type of customizations, because it's our product, we can very clearly map to the customer, well, these you can reconfigure. These we'd actually advise you to get rid of because it's no longer best practice. Here's the best practice. And these ones, yes, these you could build in an extension kit, and you can build that roadmap for the customer very effectively. A little bit harder when it's another person's product where we're taking over, but that is essentially what is really driving the complexity in cloud migrations.
Mike, this issue of multi-tenant SaaS and what it means to move to that as opposed to more of a hosted model is something we try to follow a lot at TechTarget. And you know, there's this fair amount of controversy over this. I often hear Larry Ellison, for example, on the Oracle earnings calls, deriding SAP's cloud product as it's just hosted, and yet talks about Oracle Cloud ERP, Oracle ECM Cloud, et cetera, as I think it's multi-tenant SaaS. That's certainly how they refer to it. So I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about the competitive situation. How do you see, especially the major vendors like SAP and Oracle that you compete with, how do you see their move to the cloud going in terms of the full functionality and capability of true multi-tenant SaaS?
I think this is a very hot topic in the industry, and it's not just SAP Oracle dynamic. We don't compete that much with them. You know, we compete much more mid-market. So when you look at a lot of the mid-market players. Now, multi-tenancy, I think in the early days of cloud was a really big differentiator, had a really big impact on cost profile of running operations. As hyperscalers have come along, that differential has shrunk. You can successfully lift and shift and be reasonably successful. But I think the bigger thing is it's about what I call building a more of a reactive architecture in the ERP, which is not just multi-tenancy. Multi-tenancy is one component, but it's microservices, it's open APIs, it's extensibility, it's integration kits, it's experience kits like chatbots. And modern ERP has all of that and enables you to really open up, build experiences which are unique to your people, do different things with the architecture. So we've invested very heavily over the years, you know, in what is now ERPX, which has all of that inside it. I think the challenge with a lot of other ERPs is they don't have that. So it's one thing saying, okay, we've gone to the cloud, we lifted and shifted our on-premise solution. But have you really, the other big benefit of multi-tenancy is that it fosters a different cycle of innovation in the vendor. And it's a very different cycle from the old days of on-premise. So I think all of these things have to come together for a successful ERP solution. And yes, you know, I think when you neutralize the effect of scale and stickiness scale gives when you put in a big ERP solution, over time, I think the winners will be the ones who have built the more holistic, comprehensive, reactive ERP architecture, which has all of those things I talked about.
The cloud microservices architecture, it seems like it is a major differentiator of ERPX. And I remember hearing all about that last year at the Experience for You conference and during the announcement. Have customers picked up on it? Because it seems like it brings a certain amount of complexity in terms of putting together the microservices and deciding how to do that. And I'm wondering, like, do they do it on their own or do they need help from Unit 4, maybe a Unit 4 partner?
We've actually got really good examples both ways. So we've got some customers who have built their own capability or had their own capability. You know, the beauty of our extension kit is that you can build in different languages. It's not a proprietary language to us. You can build in different languages. You talk to the APIs. So a client who's got a reasonable development shop or a couple of developers can actually do it themselves. And we have clients doing that. I would say that's the minority. The majority of our customers are relying on partners to do that and build that. And we're actively encouraging our partners to build extension IP on our platform. you know, and we are heading down the path where we will have a comprehensive marketplace next year where that IP can be showcased and partners can make, you know, sell it and as part of our sales process.
I see.
It's both, but I would say the partners are really leaning in terms of building IP at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So this relates also very directly to this notion of pervasive IP, which I know Klaus Jepsen, your CTO last year, talked about that and actually wrote a piece for Computer Weekly, the TechTarget site, wrote an opinion piece about that. And it's a really a powerful and interesting idea. It reminds me of the devolution of ERP concept that Gartner put out quite some time ago now. I guess I'm wondering, how close do you think we're getting to that vision? Because it does seem to bring opportunities, but also complexities in achieving it versus having one sort of monolithic ERP, the whole process of the putting the pieces together is a great opportunity. So I'm wondering how pervasive is pervasive ERP?
There's two answers to this, depending which kind of market segment we're talking about. So I think in the mid-market, we, as I said, you know, we've invested very heavily in platform and architecture side of the ERP to enable us to do all of this type of stuff for our customer. So customers can access through Teams. You know, I have a Teams Wonder chatbot in my Teams, which I use. They can access through Slack. You know, we can serve up snippets of approve this type of information to the customer. So the concept that ERP is always on, but you never have to log into it. It's kind of what pervasive ERP is. But architecture is going to be critical to that. I have a slightly different point of view as we get more into the enterprise side, where you've got more bigger monolithic ERPs, that pervasive ERP is actually going to be achieved by intermediary vendors in the market. ERP vendors in that segment are not going to enable it themselves. But you see people like UiPath or ServiceNow, you know, these intermediary vendors who are absolutely enabling that and almost like obscuring the big monolithic ERP so that it can happen and the customer can have that kind of effect. I think in the mid-market, it's my job to do, because the mid-market shouldn't have to buy all those different products to achieve pervasive ERP.
I do want to get to the mid-market question in a minute, but what you just said about ServiceNow and companies like that, it reminds me of what I've been hearing, and I've talked to ServiceNow over the years and others about making the more friendly interface that also sort of cuts across, almost like the old business process management and some of those tools, and kind of cuts across the modules within ERP to take them on a journey or maybe do a particular function like processing an invoice or approving an invoice. So I guess I'm wondering, how does Unit 4 approach that, adding this sort of experience layer, which I know folks like Josh Burson call it, this layer kind of on top of ERP that improves the user experience?
So we believe good ERP should do that, particularly in the mid-market. You know, and I will caveat my comments really with what we believe our mid-market target audience needs. So you've seen us launch Smart Automation, which is built-in RPA in our product. So customers can build different automations and workflows in a very smart way. You've seen us launch an extension kit. You've seen us launch an integration kit, which can build APIs and build apps which do different things specifically to that situation. You will hear us as we get into our X4U conference this year, you know, launch our integration meshes, which enable our application to really plug in and not only do this across the ERP, but do it across the landscape in terms of moving things around and talking to other systems in the landscape. And you'll also hear at our conference what we're doing around the user experience. We're going much more to, you know, how do you create soundbite experiences, particularly for the occasional users, the consultant who quickly needs to put in time or quickly check who can allocate to a project. All of that, we've invested, fortunately, 5-6 years ago in building the architecture to do that. So one of my kind of comments to a customer is, if you buy us, you never should have to buy an RPA or, you know, a ServiceNow type solution or any of those add-ons which do this for monolithic ERP, because you should have enough in our core product to do it. And I think that's a very, very important value proposition and differentiating in the mid-market. Enterprise, whole different ballgame.
Can you define the mid-market for me? Because we have covered it off and on at TechTarget, and I do find it a little challenging to figure out how their needs differ from, let's say, really small businesses and really large enterprises. So how do their needs differ, and then how does Unit4 try to address those needs?
You know, we look at the mid-market as up to 15,000 employees. And I would say our sweet spot is in the sort of 1,000 to 10,000 kind of range. Now, do I think the mid-market if you look at a professional services firm with, say, 5,000 consultants versus a professional services firm with 50,000 consultants, do I think there's fundamentally more simplicity in the smaller environment? No, sometimes I think their sophistication, their agility needs are even more than in the complex, the larger enterprise environment. But I think the way they want to deal with it is far more simplistic. They don't want to invest in heavy customizations. They want to be able to deal with this in an app, in a configuration. You know, they don't want to build a massive support infrastructure to how you deal with it. So the way you solve the problem in the mid-market, I think, is fundamentally different to the way the problem is being solved in the enterprise market. And part of the challenge in the enterprise market is not the complexity, it's the complexity overlaid with scale, which makes it, scale breeds inertia, and it makes it hard to rip out, do something different. And the underlying applications are not investing in these areas. So the quickest way to value in the enterprise market is bring in these specialized products, which can help you do it. Totally different thing in the mid-market, where you can get it all in the ERP.
How does Unit4 try to serve the mid-market needs versus the other two? Or does it not differentiate it that much?
No, we are very focused in the mid-market. That's our sweet spot. That's where we play. You know, we often challenge ourselves internally when we in a kind of deal which is more borderline and we're competing with one of the enterprise players. I always challenge the team and say, who's making the mistake on that deal? Because if we have a proposition which resonates with, the right size customer in our right verticals, and we're not trying to be an enterprise vendor. I'm trying to be the number one global company for services-based ERP in the mid-market.
You were president of SAP SuccessFactors up until around 3 years ago. How did that experience at what really is still a major provider of SaaS human capital management, how did that prepare you for what Unit4 is doing today?
I mean, it was a phenomenal experience because a company like SuccessFactors has reached a, billion-dollar plus scale when we were there in terms of revenues and scaling at 30% type growth. And there's not a lot of cloud companies at that scale. And what was fascinating during that period was there's just no textbooks. There's no management textbooks or leadership textbooks of cloud at that scale. So every problem you kind of trying to solve as you go, problems like talent dynamics, cloud operations, where do you find talent for cloud operations for mainly enterprise customers when most cloud operations skills up and down the valley are $100 million companies or less? So it had a lot of interesting challenges. And, what I really learned out of that period, which was a great period, was, how do you scale cloud companies? Really scale them, not only in terms of volume, but also in terms of, dealing with an enterprise company, major global bank is very different to dealing with smaller companies. So yeah, and that's been very useful and very valuable, as I came into Unit4, because Unit4 had done a lot of great things around the product, as I've mentioned, in terms of cloudifying it, but still looked, smelt, operated like an on-premise software company. Mm-hmm. And, when you look at all of the mechanisms and processes and things like customer communities and customer success models, which you operate in the cloud, it is very different to how you run an on-prem software company. So a lot of Unit4's transformation has been that, and today we look, feel, smell, operate like a cloud company, still running a book of on-premise. Mm-hmm.
When I've talked to SuccessFactors over the years, they certainly have a good story to tell about the employee experience, especially. And I know at Unit 4, a major theme, maybe the major theme, seems to be the people experience and also how SaaS ERP can improve that. So I guess I'm wondering, how do you feel you are executing on this sort of vision of using ERP, cloud ERP, to improve the people experience versus what you were seeing and maybe even working on at SuccessFactors?
Yeah, so I think it's very different, and I'll explain why it's different. So if you look at the ERP landscape and you kind of split the vendors into enterprise vendors and mid-market vendors, there's probably three big enterprise vendors, which we both know, and there's probably 100 mid-market vendors. Mm-hmm. If you draw another line and you split the industry in who built the ERP from a manufacturing perspective and who built the ERP from a services-centric perspective, so people-based ERP, you suddenly put 90% of the vendors to the manufacturing side. And in the enterprise space, there's one vendor who's service-centric ERP, and there's us, you know, and if you look, one of the analysts have done this 4x4, and there's us who dominates the mid-market and one who dominates enterprise. Now, that's a very important distinction because we built our ERP from a people-centric business where the R in ERP is a person, not a widget or something being manufactured. And you think about, you know, I didn't realize this till I really got into Unit 4. The way you design the software is fundamentally different to how you think about it when you're designing ERP for widgets. That's the first point, which makes us kind of fundamentally different. You know, not all ERP is the same. It's fundamentally different. The second point is that, and this also makes us different to that big ERP in HCM, is we started from a finance perspective, mm-hmm. whereas a lot of other ERPs started, or certainly in the people-centric side, from an HCM perspective. Again, you build differently. If you look at our payroll engine, we do things which, you know, some of my big competitors' payrolls don't do, like concurrent employment, the way we allocate to cost centers is way more sophisticated because we built payroll thinking of it from a finance perspective, not necessarily an HCM perspective. So when we think people experience and you think about a professional services firm where you've got to put in time, you're allocating skills to a project, you want to know the project profitability, what's the consultant profitability, how does the rev rec work based on different milestones you've agreed to with the customer, and you've got to do differentiated rev rec by different projects. It's all got to come together in a very holistic way. And I think our advantage, you know, what's different about us when we say people experience, it's that. It's all those things. It's not just about how people experience an HR system. You know, it's about how they experience all of these things and how it comes together in a professional services firm.
So what's next for Unit 4 in terms of your technology and product direction?
So I think the big thing, we, you know, which we're going to announce at our X4U event is we really focus now on thinking about, look, and it came about because we did a lot of reviews, particularly when we sold the company in the beginning of this year. You know, we really studied in the market what makes us win. Why do customers choose Unit 4 versus others in the marketplace? And the strong answer which came back time and time again was our vertical positioning, vertical capability, not just a marketing story, but deep in the product and deep in our domain knowledge of when we deploy the product for customers. So we said, okay, how do we play to your strengths? Don't play to weaknesses. How do we double down on that strength? And we said, well, why don't we actually create vertical meshes? So if we're selling to a PSO or we're selling to, you know, a not-for-profit, there are typical other solutions these organizations use for CRM, for messaging, whatever. And why don't we create a whole world of out-the-box integrations? Because people don't always do this. You know, this often becomes that where you ran out of budget and then you have what I call a lot of mind the gap, control, alt, delete, you know, manual jiu-jitsu going on between these applications. So you're going to hear us talk about this at X4U, and you're going to hear us get into these vertical meshes and how we will enable customers not only to create what we're talking about within the ERP, but to move data around and have workflow across their landscape of applications, but driven and powered out of the ERP.
Well, Mike, I have to thank you for your time today. I appreciate your taking the time out to talk to us.